It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
My memory is vague as to how I became familiar with Alphonse and Gaston, the two excessively deferential Frenchmen who, approaching a door, stop at the threshold. After you, Alphonse, Gaston bows deeply, his hat sweeping the floor as he gestures for his companion to proceed. No, no, you first, Gaston, Alphonse replies, bowing even lower. Back and forth, paralyzed by their politesse, they are so insistent on giving way that they never get anywhere. I certainly never saw the original cartoon strip in which these characters appeared in 1901. Their routine is so compelling, however, that it became a cultural meme for decades. I suspect I saw versions of it by the Three Stooges or the Marx Brothers or in cartoon shows. This comedy of manners came to mind in a most unfunny context recently. I was arguing with a friend about Israel-Palestine. To my comment that the two peoples could not simply live in enmity for all eternity and had to reach across lines to find coexistence, my friend, with much more partisan loyalties on one side than I, replied, in essence, "I won't stick my neck out first. Let the other side first prove they're giving up wanting to kill me." In a context where each side fears the other is out to kill or dispossess them, going first represents not a privilege, but a risk. The result, however, can be the same as for Alphonse and Gaston. If neither can move before the other does, both may remain frozen in place. Because after nearly a quarter of a century of living with livestock, I've come to believe that our animal nature explains human behavior at least as well as any ideology or philosophy, I've been keeping an eye out for instances of after you in the denizens of the farm to see what I might learn. This year's turkeys have been with us 6 weeks. They've grown rapidly, more than quintupling in size. The 50 birds have gone from eating less than one scoop of grain twice a day to devouring 3 scoops at each feeding and ready for more. From drinking a pint or two of water a day, they've gone to slurping up 5 gallons. As with all previous flocks, too, they've begun to develop a social structure, dominance and submission, first dibs on food and roosting places. When I realized that the roosting bars I had in their cage could no longer accommodate them all, I decided it was time to release them to the larger hay room, because its roosting structures provided ample space for all. The turkeys are not quite big enough to be released outside without risk of being killed by the hawks. When I opened the cage door, they hesitated to come out. I encouraged them by filling one of the plastic feed trays and putting it outside the door. I had hoped to graduate them to the much larger feed troughs they'll use for the rest of the summer, so I filled those too, figuring they would sniff out the food and figure it out. A couple of hours later, I came back and the yellow plastic feed tray had been cleaned out, but the feed in the large wooden feeder hadn't been touched. Even though they were fully exploring the hay room, they didn't treat that food as if it was equivalent to their usual food. I filled the plastic tray again, but this time moved it right next to the wooden feeder. I stood at the door and watched. Again, at first, they ate solely from their yellow feed tray, even though they had to jostle for position there. Finally, after about 5 minutes, one turkey turned around and tentatively tried the big trough. And only once that one turkey started eating did the others get the signal that the food was safe, and they began to partake. In this case of after you, I believe we see the use of the turkey as a scout, who could signal to the others that they were not at risk if they followed his example. The sheep offer a somewhat different picture. July 1st was shearing day, adjourned from the previous week when it was close to 100 degree heat and it would have made the process too brutal. I confined the herd in 2 pens on their side of the barn until Aaron, the shearer, arrived. The sheep, while locked in the pens, were fairly calm and collected, but I knew that the state of affairs would not last. Once the shearing equipment was set up and it was time for me to lead the animals to their haircuts, there would inevitably be a stampede of "after you," as each sheep would try to be furthest away from the gate. It poses a real danger of trampling to any new lambs, one of which had surprised us by being born that morning. I moved the mother and the lamb to the other corner of the barn before Aaron arrived. This "after you" was not an example of sending a scout out first. The sheep could easily observe that the shearing harmed nobody, as the already sheared ones came to say hello through the fence to those still awaiting their turn. It was a perhaps irrational but clearly deep-seated fear that drove their continued effort to make sure anyone other than them went first. What I've never observed in any of the varied livestock that have lived on the farm is an after-you moment driven by excessive politeness. After-you moments seem most motivated by caution or fear. You might say animals share a general ethos with humans that is not "after you," but "me first." Maybe an exaggerated depiction of what's an unnatural instinct to begin with is what makes Alphonse and Gaston so funny.
Agriculture is underwritten by Turkana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.